Christian values aren't promoted really at all. But Scripture never says it'll be easy. And I thinking about this kind of in depth, I try to find encouragement in how the world is outside. And I know that sounds kind of strange, but by thinking of it in that light, that how ungodly the world is outside, it really proves, you know, this verse out of 2 Timothy and many other verses like it, that, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 3 here says that we're going to suffer persecution. It's going to be rough for us out there. And if it wasn't, well, that would conflict a little bit. That'd be a little strange. So I try to find encouragement, even though that the world is rough and it's not based in any Christian values. That's what Scripture said it was going to be. That's exactly what Scripture said life would be like for us. So I try to spin that to be positive. You know, why do we dwell on all these bad things? And why do we allow ourselves to become discouraged? You know, maybe it's we're always trying to plan out our lives, we're always trying to think of our next move, and we're always trying to be prepared, and, you know, there's really nothing wrong with that too bad. It could be one of the tools that the devil uses to move us away from God and to keep us down and keep our mental state down and low. And you know, it could be a number of different things. But say we allow ourselves to become discouraged because we, lots of times, with our screens and our phones and our TVs and Facebook, and yes, this is my part of the lesson where I bash on Facebook. You can go ahead and roll your eyes if you'd like. But we allow ourselves to become discouraged because we just bring this stuff into our lives every day. And lots of times we set our kids in front of these screens, or we put ourselves in front of these screens, and we scroll through discouragement all day long. And you know, I used to be on social media, I used to see a lot of that, and it was discouraging. It brought me down, it really did. But you know, social media didn't really become a very big thing until, you know, Facebook started in 2004, so it's about 20 years old. So think of all the thousands of years that society lived without it. You know, society lived just fine. So, you know, it seems like some are addicted to a lot of social media, and I'm here to urge you and encourage you to remove yourself from that. Another way we allow ourselves to become discouraged is the difficulty of the task at hand. You know, this story is very specific to me. Some of you know this story, but going back about 7 or 8 years, the company that I work for, we caught a highway project in Amarillo, and I got asked to go build that job, and I reluctantly accepted that. And so Casey and I just kind of started the next phase of our life, and we uprooted all that and moved to Plainview. And for the next 3 or 4 years, I drove back and forth to Amarillo every day, and the work was really difficult, and it was really tough, and I got home late, and my mind was always spinning with the different things of work, and I was pretty discouraged for a while, and it was pretty rough on us. But all that time, we started going to Northwest Church of Christ in Plainview. And all the while that I was really down and really discouraged about work and that work situation, we were slowly coming to light, if you will, with Northwest and with the Brotherhood Church of Christ and how these Church of Christ operate. And all that while, I was slowly setting the stage for essentially where I am now. You know, and then, of course, we moved back and we started attending here, and I was encouraged on different facets here. And now, as of now, I'm more spiritually active now than I ever have been before. And it's because of being a part of this congregation and the one in Plainview and the encouragement that I received, that Casey and I both received from there. So I say that to say this: all the while that I felt discouraged and I felt down and I felt kind of beat up, I guess, I was kind of secret. I didn't notice it, but I was being encouraged the whole time. And it all started with this very large task that I had ahead of me. At that time, I allowed myself to be discouraged, and I chose to be discouraged. But luckily, I was able to kind of get out of that. So I think it's safe to say that we'll find discouragement if that's what we're looking for. A good example of that is here in Acts chapter 27. This story is of Paul, the Apostle Paul. At this time, he's a prisoner, and he's being transported on this ship. And they run into some discouragement. So chapter 27, verses 17 through 20. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on the Syrtis sands, they struck sail and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. So, here in verse 18, tempest-tossed, referring to, you know, large waves beating and wind beating on the side of the ship, you know, blowing it around, pushing it around, essentially out of control, and these guys were just along for the ride. And so I want you to think, you know, what storm is raging in your life right now? You know, what waves are beating you up in your life? You know, is the storm that you're experiencing, is it one that you've let into your life? You know, some of those examples I gave, the news, politics, social media, school, maybe coworkers, you know, it's any number of things it could be. And you know, it might be something that's just happened to you that you couldn't help, that's bringing you down and making you discouraged. For me, that constant storm that's always seems to be attacking is the constant attack on our Christian values and the constant promotion of evil outside of this world. But like we kind of read earlier, you know, that's to be expected. So it's difficult not to become discouraged, but we're going to keep reading here in Acts 27 and see where they found encouragement. So Acts chapter 27, continuing on verse 21. But long after abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God of whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar, and indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told to me.'" So, you know, Scripture tells us multiple times in multiple verses to trust in God, to trust in the Word, and that it'll all be better, at least in the end. So in this particular story, you know, they weren't, Paul and the rest of this crew, they survived, but Paul only survived to experience further persecution and to experience further hardships. So while it's easy to become discouraged, like they did earlier, you know, God saved them and God brought them out of that, but it's not always going to be, you know, pretty and nice and easy like we would like for it to. And so that's just we still need to trust in God to bring us through what we're going through, but it's not always going to be how we want it to be and how we want it to look. We'll always be discouraged when we rely on ourselves. So Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered." You know, there's no real reason to just try and rely on ourselves other than we're being selfish or being prideful. We need to rely and lean on our church family and those who are going to bring us closer to Christ and closer to God. You know, how many times has someone offered to do something for you and you don't take them up on it? You know, I'd like to think that most of the time when someone comes and offers you help, that they genuinely mean it. And if you call them and, you know, try to utilize that favor, I feel like they'd come through for it. And you know, why don't we push that off lots? I've done that plenty of times, and there's not really a reason why. Other than we think we can always do it on our own. We think that we don't need anybody else's help. And to truly be encouraged and to truly overcome our discouragement, we need to rely on help from others. So now that I've brought everybody's spirits down real far, now I want to encourage you through edification. So encouraging or being encouraged is, you know, is essentially we should not fear. Do not be afraid and do not fear are referenced over a hundred, those two phrases were referenced over 100 times in the New Testament. And in my Thompson Chain Reference Bible, they had do not be afraid and do not fear and other phrases like them very closely tied with encouragement. So in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21, look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged. And again, a similar text in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1. When you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So Scripture telling us, commanding us, don't be afraid. God is with you. You know, part of being encouraged is not fearing the future, not fearing what's going to come next, but to trust in God and trust in Him to know that He's going to take care of us in some way, some form. So why should we not fear? And it's very easy and obvious because God is on our side if we so choose to have that. So Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And the simple reason why we should always be encouraged is because God is who God is. And God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, and we should, just thinking of that and knowing that, if we truly believe that, should encourage us all the time. And I know that's an easy and broad statement that God's always with us, but it's true, and that's what we should focus on. We shouldn't focus on ourselves. We shouldn't focus on our own, you know, abilities that we think we have. We need to focus on what God can do for us. We need to encourage one another, and specifically, we need to speak up when it's time to speak up. Acts chapter 18, verses 9 through 10. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. You know, the Apostle Paul, he had really no issue speaking up. He said what needed to be said, and he suffered some persecution for it. But he didn't let that bother him. He didn't let that stop him. And this is a great way to be encouraged. And speaking up, people speaking up to me specifically, really, really furthered my spiritual walk by a huge factor. So I wouldn't be nearly as spiritually active today if it wasn't for the encouragement of others. And the first one was my wife. Years ago, I didn't sing in church at all. I just chose not to. And one day, Casey says to me, Tanner, why don't you sing in church? I said, well, just, you know, just because. I didn't have a reason. And she said, well, what does Scripture say to do? And I said, well, it says to sing. And so with her encouragement, her telling me that, I started singing in church. And now I kind of enjoy it. And then coming here, Garrett asked me to lead songs. And at first I told him, oh, no. That's, you know, that's not me. That's no way. I've only been singing in church for just a little while. I sure can't lead a song. But after I thought about that a little bit and after I was encouraged a little bit more, that's what I did. I just kind of took it on. And then here again, Daryl asked me to study and give lessons. And at first I was a little apprehensive about it, to kind of for the same reason. But after being asked and being encouraged and being lifted up to do this work, I'm doing it. And this none of this is about me, but this is my personal growth story, if you will, that how I have been lifted up by others encouraging me, others speaking up to me and asking me to help and to do this work, that I've benefited from it the most by far. So I encourage you, each of you, to speak up to anybody, to ask those questions, even if it's a little tough and even if it may be a little uncomfortable. For somebody like me, that's really what it took to kind of push me to do more and push me to be better. But speaking up and asking someone, you know, stuff like that, that's not the only way to encourage one another. There are other ways to encourage one another. There we go. Nonverbal or indirect encouragement, essentially leading by example. You know, if approaching someone and speaking up to someone is not really your style and not really how you might do that, well, leading by example is another great way to encourage someone. So kind of back to my singing story, in the midst of all that, we were at church in Plainview one day, and some of you may know him, Wyatt Francis. He was probably 9, 10, 11 years old, and he got up in front of the congregation, and he led a song all by himself. And I was sitting there in my early 30s thinking, wow, if this guy can get up and lead a song, why can't I? What's holding me back? And Wyatt encouraged me without even talking to me at all. He didn't even know that he did it. But seeing him be able to do that really encouraged me to do it as well. So, and then another big thing that I've seen being a part of this brotherhood for the past however many years is church members living the same life outside of church as in church has been just a huge encouragement to me. That's pretty rare in the world today and other congregations that a lot of people tend to put on their church face on Sunday and have that life that they live, and then outside of the building, you know, they kind of go back to their normal life. And I've been guilty of that plenty of times. So as far as encouragement goes and encouraging one another, I think the biggest encouragement that we can do for each other is to live that life that we need to live outside of this building, and for us to, you know, to know that we're being an example for someone and to live our lives that way. So each one of us could be encouraged by others just by how we live our lives. You need to humble yourself to receive this encouragement. You know, if you're kind of a know-it-all, and if you kind of shrug off any type of notes or improvement someone might give you, it's going to be hard for you to receive any kind of encouragement. So in James chapter 1, verse 19, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Swift to hear is what I've had difficulty with in the past. I usually didn't want to hear what anybody else had to say because, you know, I obviously had it all figured out all the time. You know, that's not the case. We need to be ready to listen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, "Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." So, you know, be ready to receive encouragement. And I have to uplift Winston in this. After each one of his very good lessons that he gives, he always asks for you know, notes or encouragement or pointers afterwards. And I guess I need to do a better job of giving him some because I don't really ever have any. But he's a great example of how to receive and wanting to receive that encouragement and that improvement. And so don't resist when someone is trying to encourage you. And I know that's natural for us. It was definitely natural for me to not want to hear, you know, when someone was trying to help me improve. But we need to have that humility. And we need to seek that help, and we need to seek and desire that encouragement. Encouragement specifically for today, that this text really stood out to me that really, really fits really well today. So Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 12. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, he being Jesus, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. And all things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. You know, does this sound familiar? It should, because that's exactly the world that we're living in. And it's described, you know, it's described to a T. It's not great. You know, people being betrayed, offended, and there's all just numerous false prophets teaching all kinds of different doctrines that aren't true and they're not based in Scripture. You know, this was written a few thousand years ago, and it describes today perfectly. And if we stop our reading here, that's easy to be discouraged. You know, that's easy to be brought down. But I want to keep reading in verse 13. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. You know, this endures to the end. It doesn't say coast to the end or walk nice and easy to the end. It says endures to the end. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough. It's going to be really difficult. You know, that story we read about Paul in Acts, you know, he was saved, but it was only so he could continue to be persecuted for being a Christian. You know, it's just not going to be easy all the time for us. So once we accept that, we can move on past being discouraged and try to be encouraged about the path that we're taking and the life that we're living. Because it can be made better with encouragement and to be encouraged by one another. And we need that encouragement to endure to the end. Because it's enduring to the end is essentially what we're looking for, what we're trying to get to. And our last text, John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know, this last text sums it up so well that in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for Jesus has overcome the world. You know, be encouraged tonight by putting on Christ in baptism, or be encouraged by accepting that perfect sacrifice that was made for us by being baptized. But if you have been baptized and the world has brought you down and you're living in a state of discouragement, please come to the front and let the church help you as we sing the invitation song.